Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another Nerdy Boys Reviews episode. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast to give you an overview of everything that happened in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. So, spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun. Along with that, explicit content warning. The material in this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners, so fathers, lock up your daughters and mothers, and your wives.
And your mothers.
And your mothers, fuck it. We're coming after them all.
Yes. Welcome, everyone.
And mothers, lock up your
kids
that shouldn't be like listening to this stuff, because, you know,
it's not suitable for all listeners.
Exactly. So, what's going on, everybody? Hope everybody had a good week. Exactly. How are you doing this week, Christian?
I'm excellent.
Are you excellent?
I stayed up past my bedtime last night.
I know, right? Right? Yeah, we got a couple stories to tell you guys. But, you know, get the little pleasantries out of the way.
Yeah. Pleasant. You
know, pleasantries.
How was your week?
My week was awful. I was sick all week.
Oh,
or
yeah.
I don't know if it was, if I was like had a cold or maybe the flu or something, like a small dose of the flu. Or it was it just like allergies? Like it was awful. I was like all stuffed up, and then like I was either stuffed up or my nose was running, my eyes were all watery and itchy, and like I kept like waking up with like not exactly a sore throat, but like a very, very itchy, dried out throat kind of. And I was just like, oh, this is miserable. Kept getting headaches throughout the week, and I was like, oh.
Yes.
But suffered through it. Went to work. You know, put on my big boy pants.
Oh, you did have those?
Did the adulting thing.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Also started getting back into the gym this week.
Yeah, that's good. That's I need to go to the gym.
So in case you guys have never heard our podcast, we're pretty big guys, you know? And we've been adventuring into working out and stuff. I mean, nothing new to me particularly, not really Christian either. But we've been trying to slim down and stuff, and I've been seeing some pretty great results. Christian, pretty
average.
Pretty okay results, but his tattoos that he's recently got has hindered him from his progress.
Yeah, because, you know, you're not supposed to sweat excessively when you get new tattoos, which, you know, kind of broke that rule the second day last on the newest one I got. But then I stopped because I didn't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
So I stopped working out, and you're like not supposed to lift, which I was doing my first tattoo. You're supposed to stay out of the sun. My first tattoo, I didn't even care. I was just running around fucking working out immediately after getting it. Like, didn't heal very well because of that. So make sure if you guys get tattoos, you're taking care of them and doing the right stuff, using the right products, and all that good stuff. So this one has healed very well so far. I like it. So I'm gonna start doing cardio this week, and then wait a couple weeks before I start doing resistance training again.
Sick one, bro. Get into shape.
Yeah.
You know, live that healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Talking about tattoos, I got a tattoo scheduled for not this weekend, obviously, because, you know, Saturday's already passed now, but next Saturday, the October 29th.
6 days from now.
6 days from now. That's some knowledge for you guys.
Yeah. It's going to be a good weekend, I think.
I think it's going to be an excellent weekend. We got a lot of stuff to do. We got a Halloween party to go to.
Yeah.
We got a tattoo to get. I'm going to be getting the Superman symbol on my forearm. It's going to be pretty dope. Probably going to go with like the 1985 Adventures of Superman symbol.
Yeah.
I like that one probably the most.
Cool.
It's like the biggest, boldest one, I think, and kind of like where I want it, you know, just fits there.
It's, yeah, it's good.
So this weekend was game day for us, which in case you don't know what that means. So we play a card game called Magic the Gathering. Very, you know, we're nerds, so that's what we do, right?
Yes.
And every time a new card set is released, they print a specialty mat where they designate it, like, what is like 2 or 3 weeks after the set is released. Give time to build people build their decks and get ready for the competition that weekend.
Yeah,
and
so
you play for the mat pretty much.
3 weeks after the set's released is the Pro Tour, and then the week after is always game day. So 4 weeks from the actual release. So if you guys haven't listened to us for a while, you don't know our game day history. But we stopped playing for a while, and then we came back in with a set called Fate Reforged. We both won. No, I won game day there, and then we won game day Dragons of Tarkir You won that one.
Yeah.
And then we won Game Day Magic Origins, Game Day Battle for Zendikar, and then we played Oath of the Gatewatch, and we didn't win it, and we stopped playing for like three sets.
Yeah.
And now we're back, and we took it down last night. Yeah. Champions
but
again.
It's pretty good turnout. It seems like Game Day is growing in popularity again.
20 people there.
Yeah, it was about 16, 17 people. I think
it was
like 17.
20
entered. Yeah.
That's what
he
said, yeah.
So, yeah, it was pretty good. We both made top eight because after four rounds, you cut to the top eight in standings after those four rounds.
Yeah.
And then we battled. I lost in the first round of top eight, and Christian won the tournament.
Yeah, so I had one loss going into top eight, and it was to the guy Scott played in first round of top eight. So I lost to him. I lost to him round two. Our friend Daniel lost to him round three. Scott lost to him in top eight. I played him again in top four, and I crushed him.
That's what's
and it made me feel very good. So.
Yeah, especially because like later on I realized that he was actually cheating against me, which really pissed me off. And then so I was just like, all right, whatever, dude. But that's besides the point. We crushed it, and that's what's up, bruh.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yep.
Got home at like 12:30 last night.
Yeah.
But hopefully in the future, like, the tournament will start a little earlier and
yeah,
you can get some things
ridiculous.
Going. So that was it was fun though. I'm glad we all did pretty well. Even Daniel did pretty well, and he's honestly not a great Magic player.
No.
But
yeah. So any other stories?
I don't think so. This weekend was Super SatCon, just SatCon, sorry. So everybody went to SatCon. I hope you guys had fun. We didn't make it, unfortunately. We're just busy. So
yeah. We decided to finally make it out to a tournament after being gone for so long.
Yeah.
And we did well. So that's what's up. You know, it sucks that we missed it, but that's fine. I'm okay with it because, you know, there's other cosplayers I want to work on and they just weren't ready.
Yeah,
so.
And with Halloween coming up and all that and costume party, like, we got plenty of costumes to put on, so.
For sure. All right, guys. As always, we got some news for you guys.
Yeah, so let's get right into it.
This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
We put a lot into that.
Yeah, I know, man.
Yeah, anyway, so we only have four news articles for you guys this week, but some of them are pretty interesting. And
yeah, not a ton, but it's something. We always got news for you guys.
Always.
There's always news in the nerd world going on.
Yeah. So
always.
Let's get into some of this news. First, we have Tim Miller exits Deadpool 2 director's chair. So if Deadpool 2 is hoping to recapture the lightning in a bottle magic of the first film, it's going to happen with a different filmmaker, as Deadline is reporting that 20th Century Fox's sequel has lost director Tim Miller. The co-founder of animation effects house Blur Studios made his feature directorial debut with Deadpool, which became one of the year's biggest hits, over $782 million globally on a $58 million budget. It revived Ryan Reynolds' flagging career and made R-rated action movies cheek again. According to the trade, the split was over creative differences between Miller and Reynolds, the latter a champion of bringing the Merc with a mouth to life for the last decade and who originated the on-screen version in bastardized form. For 2009's X-Men Origins Wolverine, Reynolds is also an active producer on Deadpool 2 alongside X-Men franchise caretakers Simon Kinberg and Lauren Shuler Donner. Miller's departure appears to be amicable, as he has already shifted gears to Fox's sci-fi thriller Influx, which Mark Baumbach is adapting from the novel by David Suarez with an eye towards a trilogy. Filming on Deadpool 2 was planned for early 2017, although that may change as Fox scrambles for a replacement director who can match the anarchic tone and effects wizardry of the first film. Screenwriters Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who penned the first film, are returning to write the sequel.
Does this make you worried?
Not necessarily. I mean, the writers are the same, and the writing was a huge part of the first movie. The direction, of course, is going to be another big part. But I have faith in Ryan Reynolds. I just think it goes to show more of, like, kind of dysfunctionality that Fox has.
Yeah. I really don't believe it was really the director that created the lightning in a bottle magic. as they referred to in that article. I really do believe that it was Ryan Reynolds. I mean, he's been trying to get this film made for a decade, guys. That's a long time to be, you know, sitting there fighting with the studio to try and get something spectacular made. And he put a lot of care and a lot of effort into making it what it was. And, you know, whether it was, you know, just advertising the film or, you know, working on it, finding the right people to be in the film and everything that goes into that filmmaking process. Right. He put his everything into it. And I really do like, I mean, sure, like, you know, the director, I'm sure, is a good director and everything. But I really do believe it was really the magic behind the scenes was obviously Ryan Reynolds.
Right. For you guys who don't know, Tim Miller also played Weasel in the movie, his friend. But yeah, I think if there are creative differences between Ryan Reynolds and Tim Miller, then Ryan Reynolds is probably the one I trust more, honestly. Like, yeah. He's the guy who's getting it done. He is Deadpool.
So I mean, what does that mean for Weasel though? Like, I mean, does that mean he's not coming back then in the movie as well? Like, as an actor,
we need him to come back necessarily.
I mean, he played, I feel like an okay
I
role.
Feel like it might be the thing, like the same thing that happened with Jon Favreau in the Iron Man movies. He still came back as Happy Hogan when he wasn't directing. So
yeah, I mean, well, let's see what happens when, you know, they throw some money at him to come and act in the movie. I mean,
yeah,
money always talks. So yeah,
definitely,
it is what it is. I'm not frightened for it, but let us know what you guys think. You guys can always hit us up on social media or our website www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Does this make you worried for the Deadpool franchise? Does it not? Do you guys disagree with, you know, do you guys agree with us or disagree with us?
Right.
And, you know, our opinions of Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. The only thing I'm necessarily, like, a little concerned about is just how it affects the release date of the film. Hopefully it doesn't, like, take an extra year to make it or something.
Yeah. I guess, like, the you know, what does, you know, affect the film is the fact that it will be a new director coming in. So they might try to change alterations and stuff, which could, be, you know, obviously hinder to the movie. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens exactly.
Yeah, or it could have the opposite effect and be good for
it.
You never know.
Or could make the film even better.
Yep.
In other news, Donald Glover is cast as young Lando in the Han Solo movie. Lucasfilms announced today that Donald Glover, an acclaimed actor, award-winning writer, and Grammy-nominated artist, will be playing the part of Lando in his still untitled Han Solo Star Wars film. Helmed by director Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, Glover will join Aaron Reich. Previously cast as Han Solo in bringing two iconic Star Wars characters back to the big screen, but at a time in their lives previously unexplored. In the new film, depicts Lando in his formative years as a scoundrel on the rise in the galaxy underworld. Years before the event involving Han, Leia, and Darth Vader in The Empire Strikes Back and his rise to the rebel hero in Return of the Jedi, Lord and Miller said this: "We are so lucky to have an artist as talented as Donald joining us. These are big shoes to fill, an even bigger cape, and one fits him perfectly, which will save us money on alterations. Also, we'd like to publicly apologize to Donald Glover for ruining Comic-Con for him forever." I don't even know what that means.
Why? You won't be able to go to Comic-Con as, like, just a nobody anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, because Donald Glover is pretty well known for attending Comic-Cons and stuff. He is a very big person within our nerd culture. Somebody, you know, sought after a lot within, you know, nerd movies or comic book movies and stuff like that. Glover is best known for creating and starring in critically acclaimed FX series Atlanta, which is highest premiere numbers for any basic cable comedy show since 2013, as well as starring in four seasons of the show Community, and for his Grammy-nominated album Because the Internet, performed under the name Childish Gambino. In addition, Glover appeared in the Academy Award-nominated film The Martian and will be seen in the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming.
Sick. Yes, but
he was awesome in The Martian, dude. That movie was so great.
Was it?
That movie was freaking epic, dude. And
He will not. He will not be Miles Morales, as far as we know, though, in Spider-Man Homecoming.
As far as we know, they never disclosed what his role was going to be. Did they? No, I don't believe they did. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because I remember we had like talked about it for a while. But what do you think about Donald Glover being Lando?
I think it's a good choice. I don't know. I haven't seen him act in a lot of things. I've seen some of his comedy and I've heard him rap and stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
But
do you think they'll have him perform music?
Not in Star Wars. I highly doubt it. But
we'll have to wait and see, yeah. I suppose. I think they probably will.
Yeah, we'll see. I like Donald Glover a lot, obviously. For those of you who don't know, Miles Morales was based off of his look.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a thing. Anyway, anything else to say on Donald Glover?
I'm pretty excited to see him in the role because I have seen him act. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a phenomenal actor. He is so talented, man.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. He's a good, you know, artist in hip-hop. And cannot wait to see him as Lando.
Alrighty then. So just some like more speculative news, I guess. Will the Illuminati form in the MCU? Kevin Feige says a few members are headed into Infinity War. Marvel Studios' latest strangest superhero makes a big screen debut coming up here in a couple weeks. And it looks like Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange is prepped to become a major player in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. At a press conference for the film, Kevin Feige was asked whether the comics Illuminati, of which Strange is a key member, might play a role in the films. Feige told them, "What's fun about the Illuminati is seeing certain characters interact with certain other characters. I don't know about the particular storyline, but some of those characters we will be seeing together on screen in the next Avengers." The Illuminati debuted in Brian Michael Bendis and Steve McNiven's New Avengers number 7 in 2005. Secret Society consisting of some of the most powerful Marvel characters. The original Illuminati lineup included Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Namor, the Fantastic Four's Mr. Fantastic, and the X-Men's Professor Xavier, as well as Black Bolt of the Inhumans. Black Panther was also offered a slot when the group initially formed, but he declined, believing that such a group should not exist. We're taking it one step at a time, Feige says of Cumberbatch's next MCU production. Benedict puts on the cloak once again early next year in Infinity War. While it's pretty safe bet we're going to see Stark and Strange together in Infinity War, Feige's comments do make one wonder whether or not any of the other Illuminati members could be introduced as well. Obviously, Xavier and Mr. Fantastic are owned by Fox, so that's not likely. But we know Inhumans is coming out in Phase 4, so Black Bolt is definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily believe that the formation of the Illuminati is imminent, but I think eventually that's where they are headed. And I did, I have mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the Illuminati in the comics have taken many different groups by this time because that was just the original lineup.
Yes.
And obviously we cannot, the MCU and Fox Studios, you know, agree for character rights and whatnot or whatever. Obviously Mr. Fantastic and Charles Xavier obviously can't be in there. And then Namor is like somewhere in the Watcher Universe, I believe. I forgot where he's at now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they do have the rights to all the other characters, and you can form, certain groups, but it just depends on where they really want to go with it all. But it would be cool because, Charles is able to, it's so cool because, you know, obviously Black Bolt can't talk. So it's like, how is he going to be a member of that? Well, obviously Charles, you know, is the segue for that. But
yeah. I love the Illuminati as a team. I think they're great. And obviously they have taken on different forms, like in the direction that Marvel is going with their films with Infinity War and stuff. It looks like the new Avengers direction almost, where the Illuminati had a big part to play in that. But obviously newer members, Captain America, Black Panther did eventually join the Beast, replaced Xavier, but Namor, Black Bolt, they're still there. Tony Stark, obviously, yeah. Doctor Strange. We get the two Infinity Gauntlets from the movies. I mean, those play a role in the new Avengers series, if you guys haven't read it. So, I mean, I think it's definitely, like, possible we can go in that direction, but I don't know if we'll ever get, like, Not in the next 4 years, I don't think.
Oh, no, not in the next 4 years. I would say maybe something could potentially be there by, like, 2025, somewhere in there. It just all really depends on, like, what the MCU really wants to do and how hard they want to push Fox for their rights. But that is all you know, in the unforeseeable future at the moment. Moving on, though, Black Panther cast adds Lalita Wright. Variety has revealed that actress Lalita Wright has joined Black Panther cast. Wright will be seen next year in a major role in Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One. Her role in the Marvel Studios adaption is unknown.
Yeah, we don't like
dun, that. Dun, dun, dun.
But yeah, I don't know. I really don't know who Letitia Wright is. But if you guys know, Letitia? I mean, like, apparently it was, like, enough news to make the news, so.
Yeah, it's whatever. You know, I don't, dude, I don't know what it is, like, with, like, you know, them, you know, reporting, oh, yeah, they're added, but we're not going to tell you. I'm just like, really, dude? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
We've talked about it many times.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we have. All right, guys. So we got two trailers to talk about real quick. Logan and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, both coming out in 2017, one on March 3rd, which is Logan, and one in May? May. It's in May. That's Guardians. So which one do you want to talk about first?
Logan.
What'd you think?
Like, it, you know, I mean, what are you going to talk about? Fucking right. They're both dying?
Yeah, so Professor X is going to, like, definitely die in this movie.
Dude.
Like, holy shit.
Oh. No!
Sorry about that, guys. YouTube didn't stop.
Thor came to us to bring us all a message.
Yes, about what he's been doing during Civil War again.
Yes.
But yeah, so like you're actual watching like Professor X die during the trailer.
How funny was it like when he's just like laying in his deathbed looking up at the ceiling?
He's like
he's like probably thinking I'm just like I'm so fucking bored.
Yeah,
it only makes sense though that they're gonna kill Professor X in this movie because you know, like Stewart definitely is like at the end of his ropes in real life.
Yeah. A lot of people think that Logan will die. I don't think he will.
I think he will, just because this is supposed to be Hugh Jackman's
last
run.
Yeah. And he's obviously we're passing the mantle to X-23 now.
Yeah.
I don't think they've earned that, honestly. And, like, they're making it seem like X-23 needs someone, like, to, like, raise her. Like, she's this innocent girl, but she's not at all. Like,
true.
I don't know. Like,
but you have to make compromises in how you introduce people.
I agree. But I think that the movie...
But not with the characters that I like.
The movie is either going to be great and all of what we saw in the trailer is going to play out very well and it's going to be all action like that. More likely, it's going to be a lot of boring shit with Wolverine.
Of like...
Like, dying. He can't heal. He has no powers. He just is occasionally stabbing people. Like, the first scene, he has all these scars on his back and he's like struggling to put a shirt on. How the fuck is
he
going to protect the little girl?
He has like arthritis in his hands.
Yeah.
I was like,
he's like
interesting.
Bleeding everywhere. Interesting. Like, remember the Wolverine movie, where like it was cool. I liked it. You hated the movie, I know, but I liked it for the most part. But the worst parts, he had no healing factor. He didn't have like his powers. Like, he was just boring as fuck during those parts. And
yeah.
This is what this entire movie's gonna be.
Yeah, I think it's basically gonna be a movie about probably let us know how he lost his healing factor or whatever. And
I'm pretty sure he killed all the mutants.
What?
Pretty sure he killed all the mutants.
He killed all the mutants?
Yeah, because like, that's like the first thing he says, like, what have I done? And there's no more mutants. And, like, I mean, he goes into berserk modes. Like, in the comic books, that's, like, a major part of him is, like, he has, like, a trigger scent. Same thing with X-23.
Yeah.
And, like, he goes into berserk modes, and I'm pretty sure that's probably what happened. He just ended up murdering everybody.
Oh, sick one, dude. I can't wait to watch that. That'll probably be cool.
I don't think we'll see it happen. I think we'll just be told that it happened.
Yeah. So, I think the movie's basically going to be about him losing his healing factor and he's dying and he's turning into, you know, the old man Logan or whatever. And I think Charles, you know, is probably going to be the one to bring him X-23 and kind of give him something to live for,
yes.
Even though, you know, he's living out the end of his life,
yes,
at this point. But, I mean, I'm not, like, super, super excited for it. I mean, I'm, like, average amounts of excitements.
It's a movie that I think Scott would consider waiting for because... I mean, you hate theaters anyway.
What?
You hate going to theaters now?
Yeah, they're the worst, aren't they? Like,
yeah, I love going to movies.
I can't
but
wait till I'm like rich and famous and I can just have my own private screenings at home.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm suspicious of this movie. Like, diehards, I love you guys. I'm a diehard too. But if you guys haven't learned this by now, this is not going to be old man Logan.
Like, yeah, what everybody thinks.
He's not going to claw his way out the back of the Hulk like he did in old man Logan. He's not going to decapitate the Hulk. He's not going to decapitate Red Skull with Captain America's shield. These things are not going to happen in this movie.
No, not at all.
You have to realize that. And it's not even going to be close. It's going to be the title, hashtag Civil War, and nothing else. Scooting up.
Yeah, dude, don't worry about it.
Anything else to say on Logan?
Nah.
Guardians?
Guardians! Not really much to go on. Same thing. Intro. Basically did the same sort of teaser thing that they did with the first one. You know, a lot of interesting, cool, you know, music and, you know, some funny scenes.
Yeah.
And just not really much to go off of. I mean, I guess it made to be seen that like Star-Lord and Gamora are no more. They're a little
We saw Nebula, we saw Yondu. I mean, my life is complete. I've seen Baby Groot in a Ravager costume.
I know, right?
That's like the best thing I ever saw in my life.
Yep.
Not much else to go on besides that.
I mean,
that.
We're already hyped for the movie. Didn't add any other hype. I mean, other than I do have a question about like the way like his helmet or whatever. Did it always like just like appear like that?
Yeah, but it's different effect there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that. I was like, the other one, like, there's something different about how it happened.
Yeah, the other one like came up and then like it was like mechanically, and this one is like electrically. Like,
yeah. He has like a new helmet of some sort. Well, yeah.
So those are the trailers.
Yes.
So that's all the news for this week. So I guess we gotta move into these shows, right?
Yeah, we got our weekly shows. We got Gotham, Lucifer, Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, we have all those.
So many shows to talk about, so little time.
Yeah.
No, actually, we have quite a bit of time. So, let's get into it, starting with Gotham.
Gotham, Season 3, Episode 5, Anything for You. Crime in Gotham is at an all-time high as Penguin struggles to uphold his promises to the city. Meanwhile, Butch goes down a dark path with the infamous Red Hood gang, and Bruce begins to investigate Ivy's whereabouts.
I don't like... Well, only because one word was added into there that shouldn't be there. The infamous Red Hood gang. It's not really the infamous Red Hood gang because they're not the actual Red Hood gang. They're just a bunch of people wearing red hoods. Hired by Butch.
Yeah.
Sick.
And they didn't even want to wear the hoods.
Yeah, dude.
So,
it is what it is, dog.
Yeah, so, I mean, we still have, like, the tension between Butch and Nygma, obviously, which plays, like, a major role throughout this whole episode.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of, like, that kind of aspect? Like, do you think it's, like, weird that, like, they're kind of, like, competing for Penguin's affection or whatever, or...
No. I don't know. You got to think it's like, you know, Butch, obviously, like he says in the, you know, in the episode, he's like, I used to be somebody. But then when Nygma was released from Arkham, then, you know, he basically essentially replaced him.
Right.
And obviously, you know, jealousy is going to play a factor in that. So it's like, I didn't really have a problem with like that. But the weirdness going on between Nygma and Penguin is just a little much for me.
Yeah, so I feel like the episode was pretty average through like the first half, but the back half really picked up and made it like a way better episode.
I like the subtle hints of like what essentially they're starting to make the distinction of Bruce Wayne and Batman at this point. It's like, you know, they do like little subtle things like, oh, is this what our life has become? Just a series of public meetings and fake smiles and stuff. It's basically, you know, building the persona of who Bruce Wayne will become.
Right.
Because, you know, obviously, if you know anything about comics, people, you know, people with like, you know, the, you know, identities or whatever you want to call it, alter egos or whatever you want to call it, essentially, you know, Bruce Wayne versus, you know, Batman, the two separate characters, such as Clark Kent, Superman, you know, they're always different characters in very different ways.
Yep.
And I actually kind of like what they're doing, is making that distinction. Kind of, I think it's cool.
Yeah, I think it's great. So there's a lot of, like, kind of, is Nigma really betraying Penguin? Is he trying to, like, why is he trying to set up Butch? Would Butch really betray Penguin? And it's kind of, like, all kind of, like, misled, but not. And then, like, but Penguin knows, like, based on the end, that, like, Nigma did that to Butch. So it was, like, weird.
What do you mean?
Because he was like, why would you do all that? Like, and he's like, because I wanted to show you, like,
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he was basically just trying to show Penguin that Butch was, like, not, like, a good person for him, that he was just going to betray him and backstab him, that he was doing all this shady stuff behind his back, basically. And, like, the only way for, like, Nigma to really prove it to Penguin was not to bring him into the fold of what his plan was. And I pretty much figured that Nigma was going to double cross Butch. I don't know. For me, it was kind of obvious. But, I mean, maybe for some people, like, oh, okay.
No, it was clear, I think.
But I don't really see, like, any confusion with, like, how he went about it or whatever. You know, it's just obviously, you know, when you know you're put into that situation, you know if you're Penguin, you're like, well, why didn't you just tell me what you're doing? Well, he came up with, like, the perfect response, like, for that exact question. He was like, well, I needed your reaction to the situation to be authentic, and I think the people needed to see that,
right?
And basically to frame him as a hero against the villain Butch, you know what I mean?
Right. But anyway, so Butch got arrested, but Tabby broke him out, apparently. And Barnes is, like, really strong now. This is, like, the whole episode.
Yeah. So. Then you have, like, Gordon.
Yes, Gordon.
I did enjoy him.
Gordon and Valerie.
Yeah, I actually did enjoy that quite a bit. Yeah. And then, like, Gordon's interactions with Bruce Wayne and kind of giving the advice, you know, you got to say what you mean. And then, like, that was, like, interesting to me that is, like, we just kind of thought maybe that, like, Valerie was just, like, basically a rebound for Jim in a way. But
Jim is not, like, serious about her.
Yeah, and like, I found that kind of interesting that even Bruce had the insight to notice that.
Right.
And because, you know, he's like, well, why don't you follow your own advice? And he's like, me and Lee are in the patch. He's like, I'm not talking about Lee. I'm talking about the girl that you're seeing now.
Right. He shows some of his, like, great detective work again.
Yeah, because he did miss. He's like, oh, you're quite the detective now, Bruce.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, really? Yeah. Really?
Yeah, so, like, essentially, like, Bruce hires Gordon to find Ivy.
Yep.
And she's like, Ivy's, like, picking on Selena but won't tell her who she is.
Yeah,
she's like,
dude, that was hilarious. I thought that was pretty cool interaction right there. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that actually quite a bit.
Yeah. But yeah, so Bruce is not the ladies' man yet.
Nope. But it worked.
Yeah.
It worked, dude. Good. Yeah.
Selena was, like, being a bitch to him, and then he was like, I like you as more than a friend. And she's like, blah, 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 blah. You don't tell me what to do. And then, like, she kisses him. He's like, I'm confused.
I'm confused.
He's like, do you like me or not?
Yeah. That was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
I was laughing a lot. So, overall, a pretty decent episode. What would you grade it, though?
I give it an 8.8.
An 8.8.
I think, like, the back half of the episode was really good. And, like, it highly elevated the episode. We also saw Mad Hatter at the very end. Of course, he's going crazy and wants to kill
Gordon.
Oh,
yeah, dude. And, like, that was pretty intense and crazy. I would think I would have to agree with that grade. I thought, overall, it was a good episode. And I thoroughly enjoyed Gotham this week. And I think they're honestly on a pretty good streak so far. Hopefully they don't change it up. Hopefully they don't do no retard shit. I mean, other than, like, really the Court of Owl thing, I think, you know, I do like most of the stuff going on, except for, you know, Jim being a bounty hunter, because then
he just needs to get back on the SCPD.
Yep. All right, moving on to Lucifer, Season 2, Episode 4, Lady Parts. Lady Parts, huh? After the bodies of two young L.A. Transplants, what?
It just means people who moved to L.A. I mean, I don't know who wrote the synopsis, but
this is confusing. All right, let me reread it. After the body of two young L.A. transplants are found, poisoned, Chloe and Lucifer hunt for the killers. Upon Maze convincing Chloe to go out for drinks, which the detective perceives as an act of friendship, but is actually part of a bet between Maze and Lucifer, the two make a shocking decision. Wait, who made a shocking decision? I'm so confused.
It looks like Chloe and Maze. Right?
Right? Maybe. All right, what'd you think? What did you think?
Overall, I think the episode was okay.
Yeah. Just pretty okay.
I think that there were some very good and very interesting things that happened in the episode.
Yeah.
But the overall episode was just meh. Like,
yeah.
I didn't care much for, like, the investigation stuff. And, yeah, Chloe's caught up in her work, and Lucifer just wants to avoid his problems. But, like, that stuff, like, didn't really interest me. Like, the girls' night was pretty cool. I didn't really understand, like, why Chloe got upset, though. Like, I thought she knew it was a setup, like, before that. Because, like, she showed up, obviously, and then Maze is like, hey, let's hang out. And, like, Maze wouldn't just say that. And then Ella shows up, and she's like, well, Lucifer told me to come, like. It's like, yeah. It kind of seemed like a setup. But then, like, the psychologist lady came, and it's like, nobody invited her, right? She just showed up.
No, Maze.
Well, Maze invited her, but it wasn't like, I don't know. I don't know how.
She felt betrayed because she thought, like, maybe she had
made actual friends.
Yeah, like, made actual friends, and they only hung out with her because Lucifer set it all up. Which, you know, kind of put it like that. Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah, really. But yeah, like the Lucifer on the cell phone kind of was pretty funny.
Yeah,
part of it. Amenadil likes girly drinks apparently.
Oh yeah,
he's like, Cosmos are yummy.
But here's like, yeah, you gotta get rid of this drink. But Cosmos are yummy.
Yeah,
pretty hilarious.
Pretty much the moral of Chloe's story is Chloe is a boring fuck.
Yeah.
But. I guess what the only things we really get to in this episode are Chloe and Maze are gonna live together.
Yep.
And Lucifer doesn't like that idea necessarily. And God is not so forgiving.
Lucifer thinks that, you know, with his whole distraction thing, and he thinks he found a loophole in the whole, you know,
sending his mother back to hell by essentially making her live in hell on earth or whatever.
Yeah, but obviously. That's not the case.
Dear old dad disagrees.
Dear old dad. Yeah.
Chloe got hit by a car.
Yep.
While driving. She didn't get run over, but. But yeah, I mean, overall, like I said, it wasn't a bad episode, but there was only two real things that came out of this episode. Yeah.
So what would you grade it then?
Six.
Six. I give it a 6.5.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, I would watch it again. I enjoy the episode, but it's very average.
Yeah, it just wasn't too exciting, really. It really was just like a setup episode for the next episode, really. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just sometimes, you know, those type of things could be a little dragging on. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but honestly, I think next week's episode, because I don't know which angel it is, but you're going to meet another angel. And I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
Yes, definitely. So let's move on to Supergirl, Season 2, Episode 2, The Last Children of Krypton.
Sick.
Supergirl is hurt by a kryptonite-powered villain sent by Cadmus to attack National City. Superman blames Hank, since the kryptonite was stolen from the DEO. In the meantime, Kara's first day at her new job doesn't go as planned when she meets her new boss.
All right.
I heard you on Friday say you had a bone to pick with this episode.
Yes.
So what is this bone that needs picking?
It was Superman's underreaction to the guy that was being incubated by the kryptonite rays or whatever. Because if you've ever read the story Last Son of Krypton, you would know that he would tear that fucking place apart if he ever actually seen that. You know what I mean? I mean, nothing to do with Tyler Hoechlin or whatever. It's just the way they wrote that scene or whatever.
Right.
It should have been a heightened emotional scene for him. And it should have been a lot more serious, to the point where Clark was ready to destroy him. You know what I mean? It was very underplayed, you know, and it should have been a lot more dramatic. And I don't know. It's I just felt like it bugged me. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't particularly care for, Kara's just, nonchalant, just not even caring about the whole situation.
Right.
It just, how is it not bugging her? What the fuck? Okay, obviously, you don't know who this person is or whatever, but, you could take, different precautions, than like what they're doing and stuff.
Right.
And it just showed that like Superman was right about like Hank should have never had the kryptonite. Well, I mean, I understand the need for it, obviously, but obviously.
But why would you have it in a place that some like people like you can't even trust can transport it somewhere?
Exactly.
Like, that didn't make much sense to me. Like, why were they even transporting kryptonite?
Well, I don't know. Just moving. I
mean, whatever, yeah.
Reallocating, you know, resources and stuff.
People, yeah.
Government agencies do shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess there some interesting things from this episode, I guess. We had, like, Wynn quoting Yoda, which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
We met Snapper Carr, Kara's new boss.
Yep.
Cat Grant is going to take a leave of absence. Mm-hmm. From her company.
Does that mean that she's going to be written off the show?
I think she'll be back, but I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. Like, they didn't.
That's a little terrifying to me.
Yeah, like, she's being so good, like, as a role model for Kara. Like, yeah. I guess Kara now has to step into her own, but she's not really even good at that. But, yeah, we saw Metropolis, I think, for the first time in this series.
Did we?
Yeah. I don't know if we've seen it before this episode, but.
I don't know.
Yeah, John and Supes and Kara and Alex all kind of teamed up. We had John Jones and Superman fighting. The one guy and John Jones, like, ripped his fucking heart out, dude.
Yeah, sure.
That was
pretty
crazy. But, yeah, I feel like they've done the Superman stuff pretty well. And obviously it was time for him to go. But, like, when it wasn't, like, the hero stuff, it wasn't, like, that great.
What do you mean?
Like, I thought, like, the episode was really interesting for the most part. Like, obviously, it's cool seeing, like, Superman and John Jones team up and fighting together. And then, like, Kara fighting. Like, all that stuff is pretty interesting. And Metallo was pretty cool, honestly.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the rest of, like, the story was just, like, kind of meh.
Oh, you mean, like, the stuff of, like, Kara's personal life and
yeah,
whatnot?
Yeah,
like, well, I mean, you can't just have, like, nonstop, like, superhero
right,
things going
right.
on. Like, there has to be a personal development and, like, a separation of identities pretty
yes.
much. So, I mean, I didn't really mind it. I mean, I guess I see what you're saying. Like, it wasn't super exciting or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I think it is what it is. Like, I mean, I didn't really mind it so much.
Right. No, it didn't bother me in any way. It's just... Yeah. It wasn't anything to get excited about. You know, it's not like anything, like, any big revelations. Like, they try to, like, kind of, like, Kara might move to Metropolis, which was never going to happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and Jimmy's...
I felt like that was, like, pretty, like... I thought that was, like, that particular, like, scene was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, like, with her sister and, like, you know, her sister finally standing up to her and, like, making her realize, like, you know, you sit there and, like... The things you say matter to the rest of us. And, like, when you sit there and say, oh, I'm alone or whatever, you know, it does hurt our feelings because, like, everybody's always been there for you. And, like, she's, like, given up so much in her life, you know, to help protect Kara. So, I mean.
Right. But she can't then be mad at Kara for that because, like.
Well.
She made that choice. You know, Kara didn't tell her to do that, you know.
Well, yeah, no. I don't, you know, I think, like, it was necessarily, like, to, you know, to throw it in her face or whatever. But, like, to sit there and be like, oh, you know, I'm just so alone and I have nobody.
Right, right.
Like, it just, like, feels like a slap in their face, you know, and that's why they brought it up. I'm like, really, dude?
Right.
So,
yeah,
I mean, all right.
So, Jimmy's taking on Cat Grant's position, apparently. So, Jimmy Olsen is now just superhero in charge of everything, sexy guy.
I don't know, dude. I hate how they do Jimmy. Like, yeah. It's just it's awful. They should cut that guy off the show.
Hank Henshaw, John Jones, Martian Manhunter. I don't know. He has too many names, guys. But he hands over the kryptonite to Superman. Superman
yes.
takes it the fuck out of there. Wynn is not afraid to hug Superman like a little gay boy, which was cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And Mon-El woke up.
Mon-El has arisen.
Yeah. What did you think? What would you grade it?
I would give it an 8.
An 8, hey?
Yeah.
I would give it a 7.5.
7.5.
Yeah, yeah. I did quite enjoy the episode, but it was still like a pretty average episode. A little better than average.
So, would that mean 8?
No, 8 is, like, good.
All
right. And he just like baseline good, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
Sick. Moving on.
All right.
To the Flash. It's me. Yosh, yosh, yosh.
Yeah, that's you.
All right. The Flash Season 3, Episode 3, Magenta. Just as Wells and Jesse return from Earth 2, Central City is attacked by a new meta with the power to control metal.
Yeah, Magenta.
Magenta.
What'd you think of Magenta?
I don't know. Seemed like they're like the way they like were having her manifest her powers and stuff. I was like, oh, look, it's Magneto. Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, like, I mean, all you have to do is move two letters and you get Magneta.
True. I mean,
it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
So what'd you think of the episode?
Overall, I thought it was a good episode.
Me too.
Barry and Iris's dates didn't go well.
To be expected.
The first one was really awkward. Like, I think he was just trying to do something that's, like, not really him.
Uh-huh.
But...
And then the second one went well.
Until he had to leave.
Well, I mean...
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
No.
Doesn't mean that the date went bad. And right. Even Iris was like, this was so much better, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, obviously, well, especially with Barry explaining to her, it's like, you know... If you just try to cut out who I am, it's, you know, yeah, you're not really.
I mean,
me
I have power, so let's fucking use them, babe.
Yeah.
I'll fucking fuck you in 2 seconds.
Jesus.
So we did learn other timelines on other Earths, so they weren't affected by Barry going back in time on Earth 2. Did you enjoy seeing Harrison Wells and Jesse quick
I
back?
I did.
Me too. I thought it was quite nice.
I did. I loved everything about this episode. I thought this episode was just great.
Yes, Wally's all jealous of Jesse's powers and shit. He's trying to get hit by cars and stuff.
Yeah. I especially liked him.
Yes.
Yes, he was grand. There's just not a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Like, it was just a great episode, but, like, not a whole bunch of stuff happened. Like,
yeah,
the stuff with Magenta and then, like, Wally trying to deal with his stuff.
Yeah, my favorite part about this episode was that Barry couldn't use his powers necessarily to save the day. Like, obviously he did by stopping the ship from hitting the building, and then Jesse stepped in, but he had to talk Magenta down to actually stop her. Like, he had to inspire her and, you know, use his words to save the day. And that's, like, one of my favorite parts is, like, it's not always about, like, I have these great powers. You know, it's about who you are and what you do with those powers. And I think that was pretty awesome. Jesse finally got her costume. I mean, we didn't get to see her in it, but we'll see her in it this week. So,
and we finally find out, like, how Wally will more than likely get his powers.
Like, playing that tournament, we're just fucking with people hella bad.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
We're just laughing all the time, like old pals and shit.
Old palsies.
Anyway.
Legends of Tomorrow, Season 2, Episode 2, The Justice Society of America. The Legends discovered a time aberration that threatens the Justice Society of America, who are in a mission to intercept and seize a mysterious package in Nazi-occupied Paris.
This is kind of dumb synopsis here.
Yeah, yep, yep. I was just trying to do it in, like, a cool voice, but I don't know if I failed or not. Yeah. But how'd I do? How did I do? Let us know. Let us know. Contact us on Twitter.
What the fuck did I write here? Hold on. Sorry. Yeah, anyway, so the Justice Society of America was pretty cool, right?
Yeah, dude, pretty sick,
so,
man.
Like, we see Vixen fighting, and she, like, when, like, they're fighting the Legends, and she, like...
Oh, my God, here it comes. I know what you're about to say.
She becomes her Rampy.
Yeah, I knew.
That was great.
And then, like, when, like, the steroided guy out came, and then she turned into her Rampy again.
Oh,
I was like...
Yeah. Dude, that steroided guy... Those effects were pretty bad.
Yeah, those are probably some of the worst effects coming out
almost
of the CW.
Almost as bad as the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Like, the dinosaur at least looked good.
I was like, is that supposed to be, like, their attempt at, like, a Hulk-type character? Like, what's going on? I'm so confused.
Yeah. Like, at the beginning of this show, this episode, I was just like, I'd just rather have a Justice Society of America show.
Yep.
But, in
the fight for power and leadership.
I didn't really understand... Why Ray Palmer punched that Nazi?
What Nazi?
Like when they were like in the club or whatever, you know, and the guy's like asking him, oh, like, why didn't you hail Hitler?
Oh, well, because he was about to be busted as like, you know,
well, I mean,
somebody not allied with them.
Right. I mean, he could have tried to talk his way out of it. Like, he wasn't doing a good job already.
Yeah, no.
But then he's just like, oh, fuck it. Like, I'll just punch a Nazi.
Yeah, I mean, that's that classic Western type thing going on.
Yeah.
And it just, like, starts a huge bar fight, you know?
Yeah. So, like, we find out Dr. Haywood is a hemophiliac, or as I call him, a Haywoodphiliac. If you guys don't know what that means, it means he can't fucking, like, get injured because he'll die.
Worst hero ever.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about how shit leader Martin Stein is.
He was awful. I knew it was going to happen. I knew the power was going to go to his head and stuff.
Yeah. And then Sarah would become leader, even though she's like a shit leader.
No, I think she's actually pretty.
I think she wasn't. She was good in this episode. But like based on the last episode where she's just like, yeah, I will help the team, but I will also go take out my own vendettas.
Yeah.
It's like.
True. Who do you think should be the leader?
Of that group?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I liked Ray Palmer when he was in Arrow, but, like, he kind of annoys me in Legends. Yeah. Like, I would have said him, but, yeah, he's not great.
Obviously, it's not going to be Jax. He's not, like, the leader type, really. Right. He's just, like, the fighter type.
Yeah,
Roy,
but he's all,
not going to be.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like, no good option, really. Like,
Sarah, I think, was the clear choice.
Yeah.
And I knew Stein was going to be a bad choice.
I think Stein could have been a good choice, but he just wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, he could have done the right things. Like, he usually knows what the right things are, but he just wasn't. I don't know. I don't know.
Exactly.
But, yeah, Stein is not a great leader. Nope. But you know who was great was Stargirl.
Yeah, she
I
was.
I like Stargirl.
You're creepy. You weirdo.
That's not that creepy.
I mean, kind of. But go on.
Anyway, bad CG, like we said. But you know who else was in this episode who was great?
Who?
The Reverse Flash.
How can you say he was great? He was just in there.
I know, but he was like running around killing people and shit and like threatening people. I was like, yeah, he's so cool. I don't know. I just think he looks cool. He's running around murdering people.
What the hell?
You didn't think like it was like cool seeing Reverse Flash again, just like
no, I think it was cool, but I mean, but you're acting like he had like
no, I just said he was great. He's just great.
All right.
Just great seeing him doing his little jogging.
It's been so long.
Anyway, for you, better or worse than the first episode of this season?
Wait, I don't even know why I rated the first episode. Do you know what I rated the first episode?
I could tell you.
I thought it was pretty decent.
If
now,
you guys,
that's going to take...
No, it's not. But I'll just do the plug real quick. If you guys are interested in knowing what we've graded these episodes, you can go to our website, nerdyboysreviews.com. Go to episode grades.
Oh, my God. Can you really do that?
Yeah, you can see what we've graded every episode.
That's so helpful, nerdy boy Christian.
Scott gave episode one of this season two of Legend of Tomorrow a 7.0.
I think it was an upgrade.
A 6.0.
I thought this episode was pretty enjoyable. I'd probably give it like a 8.5.
Oh, that's you've been like pretty generous lately.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's just this thermogenic pill I'm on right now. It got
maybe.
Me hyped.
I'll give it a 7.8.
Sick one, bro.
Yeah.
Moving on.
This is you, right? Or is this me?
No, it's me. I'll go again. Fuck it. Go, Christian.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're on to our Marvel show, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4.
Our Marvel shows.
I said our Marvel show.
You said shows.
And I said Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 4. Let me stand next to your fire.
What the fuck? Like, at least mine made sense. Like, I was trying to be like, you know, that rah-rah Mr. America
shit.
Guy. You know? But I don't know what the fuck. I was just like a pompous, like, old-time British guy. I don't even know, dude.
As Ghost Rider's Quest.
As Ghost Rider's quest
for vengeance brings him into an explosive confrontation with S.H.I.E.L.D., Coulson and Mac must rely on an unlikely ally in their time of desperate need. And Daisy reunites
he's out of control,
with
everyone.
A familiar face to stop the watchdogs. This was a shit synopsis.
All right. I can make it better. Don't worry. I'll do it right now.
Okay.
All right. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 4, Episode 4. Let me stand next to your fire.
No.
No way. I'm not. Hold on.
I'm just saying I won't let you stand next to my fire.
No, you can't. As Ghost Rider, quest for vengeance brings him into an explosive confrontation.
Are you just trying to waste time here?
Maybe. All right.
Are we going to do
this? Let's get into this fucking episode. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're not NPR. We don't go. And today we're talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 4.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Get into it, Christian.
Okay.
Get it.
Daisy and Simmons are like, guys, we're teammates again, bro. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And the watchdogs are all.
That was neat.
The watchdogs are all like, meep, 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 meep. I'm going to hack into S.H.I.E.L.D. servers and find out where all the humans are, and I'm going to murder them.
Beep, 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 beep. I'm going to murderize them.
Yeah.
What movie is that from?
I have no idea.
You suck. I don't even know if we could be friends anymore. Three ninjas, you prick. Oh.
Yeah, and then Coulson's all like, I'm going to go talk to Mr. Ghost Rider's uncle. And then, like, Ghost Rider sees him, and they do their little car chase thing. And then, like, he runs right into a Quinjet. That was pretty interesting. And then Daisy's, like, kind of trying to, like, do something. She's like trying to like recruit James.
Like, other than like the whole AI thing going on and like that one scene with everybody in there and stuff, I was so disinterested in this episode.
Were you?
I thought it was super boring.
Up until Ghost Rider was like fighting James.
Oh yes, that was good. And the AI stuff, it was good.
Yeah. I liked the episode quite a lot. Probably a lot more than you.
All right. Go ahead.
Coulson recruits Daisy and Mr. Ghost Rider to his team at the end, and that is all she wrote.
All right, what would you grade it? Go.
9.2.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not. This episode was great.
That's ridiculous.
Even you said after the episode, you're like, this was a great episode.
Did I?
Yeah, you absolutely did. You're like, that was just great. This was great. And I was like,
I've changed my mind. I have time to reflect.
Okay.
Upon my life decisions.
All right.
And you're going to be so angry.
What, are you going to give a 6 something?
That was a pretty good guess. 6.9.
All right. A 69 from Scott.
Got him. Yeah. So that's all our shows this week.
Yes.
Make sure we're about to do a Luke Cage podcast. So make sure you guys are on the lookout for that as well. Make sure that you guys are following us on all of our social media platforms on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Christian, dude, you're out of control. You
Sorry,
need to
guys.
Calm yourself, all Kay. Right? You can follow us on Snapchat. We have this glorious thing called a web slant.
Wait, did you call me a calmer self?
A calmer self? Sick one, dude. All right, we have this awesome website designed by Christian himself. He's waving like people can see his arms. You're retarded. Oh, man. It's www.nerdyboysreviews.com.
Yeah.
There's some cool features on there and stuff. We'll let you explore and stuff. And if you could be so kind to rate and subscribe to us on podbean.com or iTunes, and to solve a little conundrum that we've had, if you guys are listening to us on like Google, like, Play Music or whatever it's called, or Stitcher, can you please contact us and let us know that that's where you guys have found us? Because we're trying to expand our hosting options and stuff. We're not going to get too much into that, but we do want to know because we've been wondering.
Yeah, share us with all your friends.
Yes, make sure you share us with your friends and family, dogs and cat alike.
Yes.
all of that stuff. Do you have anything else? No? Good to know. All right. We are the Nerdy Boys, and I am Nerdy Boy Scott.
I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at MBR, we have one simple message for you, and that is
stay nerdy boys. All right, guys. So we got two trailers to talk about real quick. Logan and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, both coming out in 2017, one on March 3rd, which is Logan, and one in May. It's in May. That's Guardians. So which one do you want to talk about first?
Logan.
What'd you think?
I mean, what are you going to talk about? Fucking right. They're both dying?
Yeah, so Professor X is going to like definitely die in this movie. Dude. Like, holy shit.
Oh, no!
Sorry about that, guys. YouTube didn't stop.
Thor came to us to bring us all a message.
Yes, about what he's been doing during Civil War again.
Yes.
But yeah, so like you're actually watching like Professor X die during the trailer.
How funny was it like when he's just like laying in his deathbed looking up at the ceiling?
He's like
he's like probably thinking I'm so fucking bored. Yeah, it only makes sense though that they're gonna kill Professor X in this movie because, you know, like Stewart definitely is like at the end of his ropes in real life.
Yeah. A lot of people think that Logan will die. I don't think he will.
I think he will, just because this is supposed to be Hugh Jackman's last run. Yeah.
And he's obviously, we're passing the mantle to X-23 now.
Yeah.
I don't think they've earned that, honestly. And like they're making it seem like X-23 needs someone like to like raise her. Like she's this innocent girl, but she's not at all. Like, true. I don't know. Like,
but you have to make compromises in how you introduce people.
I agree. But I think that the movie...
But not with the characters that I like.
The movie is either going to be great and all of what we saw in the trailer is going to play out very well and it's going to be all action like that. More likely, it's going to be a lot of boring shit with Wolverine.
Of like...
Like dying. He can't heal. He has no powers. He just is occasionally stabbing people. Like... The first scene, he has all these scars on his back, and he's, like, struggling to put a shirt on. How the fuck is he going to protect the little girl?
He has, like, arthritis in his hands.
Yeah.
I was like,
he's, like, bleeding everywhere. Interesting. Like, remember the Wolverine movie, where, like, it was cool. I liked it. You hated the movie, I know, but I liked it for the most part. But the worst parts, he had no healing factor. He didn't have, like, his powers. Like, he was just boring as fuck during those parts. And yeah. This is what this entire movie's going to be.
Yeah, I think it's basically going to be a movie about, probably let us know how he lost his healing factor or whatever. And
I'm pretty sure he killed all the mutants.
What?
I'm pretty sure he killed all the mutants.
He killed all the mutants?
Because yeah. Like, that's like the first thing he says, like, what have I done? And there's no more mutants. And like, I mean, he goes into berserk modes. Like in the comic books, that's like a major part of him is like, he has like a trigger scent. Same thing with X-23.
Yeah.
And like, he goes into berserk modes and I'm pretty sure that's probably what happened. He just ended up murdering everybody.
Oh, sick one, dude. I can't wait to watch that. That'll probably be cool.
I don't think we'll see it happen. I think we'll just be told that it happened.
Yeah. So I think the movie's basically going to be about him losing his healing factor and he's dying and he's turning into, you know, the old man Logan or whatever. And I think Charles, you know, is probably going to be the one to bring him X-23 and kind of give him something to live for, yes. Even though, you know, he's living out the end of his life, yes. At this point. But, I mean, I'm not, like, super, super excited for it. I mean, I'm, like, average amounts of excitements.
It's a movie that I think Scott would consider waiting for because, I mean, you hate theaters anyway.
What?
You hate going to theaters now.
Yeah, they're the worst, aren't they? Like,
yeah, I love going to movies.
I can't wait till I'm like rich and famous and I can just have my own private screenings at home.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm suspicious of this movie. Like, diehards, I love you guys. I'm a diehard too. But if you guys haven't learned this by now, this is not gonna be Old Man Logan. Like,
yeah, that's what everybody thinks.
He's not going to claw his way out the back of the Hulk like he did in Old Man Logan. He's not going to decapitate the Hulk. He's not going to decapitate Red Skull with Captain America's shield. These things are not going to happen in this movie.
No, not at all.
You have to realize that. And it's not even going to be close. It's going to be the title, #Civil War, and nothing else. Scooting up.
Yeah, dude, don't worry about it.
Anything else to say on Logan?
Nah.
Guardians? Nah.
Guardians! Not really much to go on. Same thing. Intro. Basically did the same sort of teaser thing that they did with the first one. You know, a lot of interesting, cool, you know, music and, you know, some funny scenes.
Yeah.
And just not really much to go off right. of. I mean, it's it made to be seen that, like, Star-Lord and Gamora are no more. They're a little...
Yeah, we saw Nebula. We saw Yondu. I mean, my life is complete. I've seen Baby Groot in a Ravager costume.
I know, right?
That's, like, the best thing I ever saw in my life.
Yep.
So, I mean, but, yeah, not much else to go on besides that.
I mean,
that.
We're already hyped for the movie. Didn't add any other hype. I mean... Other than, I do have a question about, like, the way, like his helmet or whatever. Did it always, like, just, like, appear like that?
Yeah, but it's different effect there.
Yeah. I noticed that. I was, like, the other one, like, there's something different about how it happened.
Yeah, the other one, like, came up, and then, like, it was, like, mechanically, and this one is, like, electrically, like.
Yeah. He has, like, a new helmet of some sort. Well, yeah.
So those are the trailers.